This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I broke my watch yesterday, so you know what this is for, right? Absolutely nothing, but when you speak, you're supposed to put it there so you think I'm going to hurry up and be done on time. I'm going to try. They asked me if I wanted that thing. I'll give you my heritage real quick. I grew up, both my great-grandfathers were Wesleyan Methodist pastors. My father was a Wesleyan Methodist pastor. Both brothers are Wesleyan Methodist pastors. Both sisters are married to Wesleyan Methodist pastors or district superintendents. I found that if you get behind that, you end up being called a preacher, and that scares me. So I like these. Nothing against preachers, but I have found my pulpit to be a soccer complex, a golf course, anything athletic. And I'm going to do something a little different. This is not correcting what Rick just did. If you are not a student athlete and you are not a coach, will you stand? Now, student athletes, you need to return the favor that they gave you a while ago. I do that because listen, you need to understand something too. How many of you are faculty and staff? In other words, you're professional Christians, right? You're at a Christian college. That's what we are called. We get paid to do this. I just hope you get this. This is highlight day on my calendar. I get to do this about 30 times a year to be on one of our 103 schools. I get paid to sit in a chapel today. Are you kidding me? Because I promise you, and some of your students say, I wish we were getting paid. Trust me, you are. Because I'm going to look at you student athletes a lot today. I'm going to see some of you a lot all day long, and I love that. I sat in your seat, and I hope that the idiot that got up here in my chapel days would hurry up and shut up so I could go cram for the test I'm not prepared for. Been there, done that. Been done by that, too. But oh, what I did not know was going on in those days when I was kind of disengaged, to be very candid. Just by being in that place, required by my coach to usually sit up front, God was getting my heart. I did not plan for that. I won't go into my details. I'll share that with you student athlete, but I did not plan for that. God has a warped sense of humor. If you don't believe it, look in the mirror. I mean, we are us, and we are His creation, and supposedly we're in His image. I can't wait to see what He looks like. I really can't. But just by being in a chapel, you are getting something that is priceless. I don't expect you to get it right now. I mean that. That's not disparaging to your youth, but you are going to get it 4, 5, 6 years from now, 8 when some of you graduate. You're going to get it. When you're sitting in that office and you would give anything to be in a chapel service at 9 or 10 o'clock on a weekday morning. I'll give you the NCCA stuff real quick because I get paid to do that. We're 103 schools. I was just in Indianapolis last week with our NCAA meetings. We meet with them twice a year. Meet with NAI twice a year on our reciprocal stuff. All that goes to say is I've been asked, are you the Christian arm of the NCAA? Don't think they have one. I don't think they have a Christian foot, Christian nose, Christian ear at NCAA. We simply meet with them on the business of athletics. The rules, the compliance, the eligibility, the minutia, the junk that Kim Abbott and your coaches and your compliance folks have to deal with. But here's who we are. I just want to be very blunt, in case you don't know this affiliation you have. We use intercollegiate athletics to serve the great commission of Jesus Christ. Period. For some of you, you may go, okay, how do you do that? Trust me, it's awkward at times. It's weird at times. It's pushback at times when we deal with municipalities that don't want the cross brought into the championship week. But you just need to understand that those 7 members of that staff up there, just in case you know, I did not hire my wife. Someone much smarter than I did hired her 15 years ago before I started. And if you think I'm her boss, you're stupid. And if I think I'm her boss, I'm really stupid. But we have been blessed to work together. We simply use intercollegiate athletics. That's what we do. We use it. Okay? Much like Michael W. Smith uses music. 10th Avenue North uses music. Kirk Cameron uses theater, drama. We use sport. We use a stinking round ball. We use a lacrosse stick to beat the crud out of each other and then share Jesus after the game. That's what we do. That's who we are. If that's not big enough for you athletically, sorry. That's who we are. We're not trying to be the 3rd largest intercollegiate athletic association. I was told by marketers that's how we should market ourselves. Anybody care about the other 2? The NCAA reigns. You know that. That's all it's about. NCAA is sport. You didn't even know NCAA probably until it came to your campus. And even now, you may not know what all we do. Some of you are going to be competing. You're going to play in regional tournaments and have a chance to go win a banner. Some of you have probably gotten awards, Student Athlete of the Week. We love doing that. It's all a cover-up. We simply want to serve the Great Commission using sport. So that's who we are. Today is kind of a prayer focus. And I'm not going to talk about prayer. Sorry. But I am going to tell you this. Who you pray to is worthy. And that's who we are going to talk about. I want to make sure you understand this. Because Genesis 1:1 is true, because Isaiah 53:5 is true, and many other scriptures, in the beginning God, I really think in all honesty that ought to be where we should end. If you get that, the rest is really going to be easy, because that's a huge faith statement. But if you get that, and then you understand that hundreds of years before Christ ever showed up, a prophet named Isaiah described exactly what he was going to do for you and me, and that's exactly what he did. That's movie stuff. That's Spielberg can't pull that one off. That's that M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong guy that did Sixth Sense and all those movies that kind of played with your brain. He couldn't come up with that. He couldn't. God can. That's who you pray to. So focus on prayer. But I want to talk to you today about who we pray to. I want to deal with the fact of we serve an excellent God. In 2007, that's when I met Rick at ABHE. I think he got forced or paid to come to a really bad late seminar in the end of a conference. How many of you faculty ever go to conferences? Nobody goes to the 4 o'clock Friday things, right? Come on, nobody. He did. What an idiot. But he showed up. And the conversation was intercollegiate athletics. Get this, because you're right in the middle of this. Listen, I know where you are. I'm not pulling any punches. I know where you are. Intercollegiate athletics in the intentional Christ-centered model. Trust me, half the people there at that conference are like, I'm not sure that even fits. Well, it does. And sometimes it isn't a pretty puzzle. And sometimes it is incredible. We'll deal with that as we talk with athletes of the day about the opportunities given. But in 2007, I was the father of a high school senior, the father of a sixth grader, and like my favorite cartoon character, who they're going to pop up there. And if you're, I tell you what, if you are not faculty staff, and let's do this. If you're under 25, here's what you got to do. First person who stands up. Well, that got them. You are going to get a free, you're going to get two, so you can take somebody. Two free Chick-fil-A sandwiches on me. You have to finish this. Yeah. Okay, no, stay up, because if you get it right, you are first. You're brave. A little impulsive, but brave. I like that. My favorite character, this was his tagline. I've had all I can stands. Stand up if you can finish it. Back there. Come here. All right, hang on. You're not an athlete, right? No, because you ran four steps and stopped. We got to get your cardio up. We got to work on that. Thank you. I had had all I can stands, and I could not stand it anymore in relation to this. I was going through life as a professional Christian with a professional Christian wife and a professional Christian home, active in our church, and watching my kids get sucked down a drain called public culture. I'm not beating up on the culture. It's our culture. When you start to beat up on it, you need to be real careful, because we're the ones who've developed it and let it be. We're guilty of that. Let's be honest. If you're 54 older and you don't like this generation, go look in the mirror. We created them. I love this generation. I think you are the most spiritually inquisitive generation that I've ever heard of. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't get you to the cross. It gets you to other stuff. Our job is to help you get you to the cross. But I want you to understand this. I was like, what are we doing? What am I accepting as just, that's it? And I hope my kids make it. I know we're not supposed to gamble, but I was rolling the dice. We Wesleyans will go to hell for that. But I was rolling the dice, hoping they made it. Survive middle school. Make it through that last year of high school. I sure hope. I love Shawshank Redemption. Hope's a good thing, maybe the greatest thing, but not in relation to my children. There was something different. Out of that came this thing. We have to have acronyms in life. We have to have symbols. We have to make keychains. Came Game Plan for Life. Everybody loves character models. Boy Scouts have one, optimist clubs have one, pessimist clubs have one. Everybody's got character models. Ours is simply based on this. It's not exclusive. It may not be all inclusive, but it is this. The four biblical traits of Jesus Christ. Not Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or any other icon you want to mention. I love those people. They're great human examples, but they're not Jesus Christ. I want to caution you. How many of you love reading today's Christian literature? How many of you read that more often than you do Scripture? Because I caution you to stop that. I'm not going to get any credit for reading David Jeremiah and John MacArthur. There's a great read, by the way, in one day. Really is. They're two of our presidents of our schools, and they don't even agree. We can't get 103 theologians in from our membership to sit together for 2 hours, probably. Some will exit the room, depending on the topic. But we can use sport. And the idea was, what can we actually measure? And I'm going to go through them fast, and we're going to end with the last one today. Love, 1 Corinthians 13. And just so you may be surprised, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is what? Ten Commandments. I think we miss it. Because in the very first verse in that chapter, we miss something because we get hung up on the Ten Commandments. We're good at getting hung up on the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God. He doesn't say, I will be if you choose there. That's not even a choice. Christ is a choice. God being the Lord of every human being ever created is given. God's already said that. Before he gets to the don't do this, don't kill, steal, whatever. Just so you know, we got a relationship because I am the Lord your God. It's not an option. We can debate it and you can say you don't. You can be an atheist, agnostic, whatever. But I got news for you. The God creator from Genesis 1:1 said he is. That's love. Integrity. Real quick, Job 27:5. No matter what, after all the chaos and the chatter and the yak-yak, Job says, I will not forsake my integrity. If we just got that piece of it, what a different culture we'd live in. From D.C. to Columbia, to Central South Carolina, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Faith, Hebrews 11. I simply offer you this. Go read Hebrews 11 before the day's over, and only do me a favor. Realize that is not a static piece of Scripture. What I mean by that, if you take my Bible, I'm not here to add to Scripture. I'm not stupid. I've read Revelation 2. But you're going to see the name Dr. Clyde Keith Connor in my border of my Bible. That was my coach. You're going to see the name Kelly Wood, my wife and best friend in the world, who is a spiritual Hebrews 11 type hero to me. You're going to see Dixon and Naomi Wood. You're going to see my brother Pete Wood. You're going to see Bobby Temple. You understand what I'm saying? Hebrews 11's not over. It's just that Scripture ended about 2,000 years ago, or plus or minus. But it's a continuum. And here's the funny thing. You're supposed to not only have those people in your continuum, I pray and hope, regardless of your age, that you are in someone's continuum. You get that? I don't care if you're a freshman. You should have been working with kids by now. At your church, in your sport, in your major, in chorale, in something. I hope you're in some kid, naive as that kid may be, about who you may be. I hope you're in their Hebrews 11, point me to the cross continuum. Then today's is excellence. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations, and I'm going to show my age here. Sunday night, I don't stay up this late. I stayed up till 1 a.m. because there's a movie I'd never seen. I remember the real deal. But if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Miracle. Some of you old people like me are grinning. It's the 1980 U.S. hockey team. ESPN was less than a year old that year. And I remember sitting in the dorm of Stuart Bennett Lobby at Central Wesleyan College at the time. That's where we all watch TV. Don't hold hands. Don't sit by the opposite sex. All that good stuff we good Christians did that day. And watching that game. But you know what nobody knew? ESPN had this little number, 900-988-1515. I remember it like it was yesterday. You know why? That game was not played at 8 o'clock at night. Some of you are nodding. Remember that? It wasn't played at 8. That's just when it came on TV, and we didn't know any better because we didn't have ESPN out the wazoo. I don't know what a wazoo is, but we didn't have ESPN out of it. And I had called that day at 2 o'clock, at 2:30, and at 4 o'clock to get updates. And I knew before dinner that night who won. Is confession good for the soul? Yeah, you that want to hear my dirt are going, yeah. I made about $50 on that game. I'm just saying, I've bent the knee. I've been forgiven for it. Not like Zacchaeus. I didn't track him down and pay him back because it's a funny story. But I bet all my soccer teammates, I guarantee you U.S. wins. They said, no way. I said, I bet you we score at least 3 goals. We scored 4. But that night, something that should never have happened happened. A bunch of 18 to 22-year-old college hockey players beat probably to this day still maybe the greatest Olympic team ever assembled. It was Russia's best ever. And we beat them. Just so you know, a week before, James, they had got beat 10-0. Nil's a soccer term, means zero. We're just, soccer people are stupid. We got hit with the ball. Nil. 10-0 less than a week earlier. How many of you in 1996 watched the Atlanta Olympics? I'll never forget, I hope the day that Alzheimer's hits me, if it does, when I stop forgetting whatever, I'll never forget this image. Michael Johnson, as he crossed the finish line in the 200-meter finals, I've never seen the sheer exhilaration of a human being that did everything in their excellent being to run a race. Never seen anything like it. Do you remember his face? He did not run looking at anything. He ran. And he wasn't like Usain Bolt who pulled up and still beat everybody. He crossed that finish line in his gold shoes. Anybody remember the gold shoes? Those were nasty Nike things. Looked like, you know, Dorothy. But he crossed that finish line, and I'll never forget his face when he saw the digital clock. Does anybody beside me remember that? It was unbelievable. Not because I can run like that. I can't. Not even on, you know, if they had a game for track and field in digital version, I couldn't run like that. It was sheer exhilaration. I'll speed up. Michael Phelps, 2008. Unbelievable. My generation, we talk about a guy named Mark Spitz, and Michael Phelps blew him, no pun intended, out of the water. You remember the finish in the race? There's no way he's winning. He's going to get silver. That's good. And somehow, and even when they said he won, I said, no, he didn't. That's just them giving him another gold medal. Until they took us to that underwater camera, and he outreached the guy. And I don't even like swimming. I like dunking, but I don't like swimming. Amazing. What happens when you see excellence? I'm just going to be blunt. I literally thought I could play hockey in 1980 on that night. Just from sheer, I can't. But I thought I could. I thought, what would it be like? I wanted to put my shoes in Michael Johnson's shoes, my feet in his shoes, and be that. I wanted to swim. Other illustrations for those of you who don't like sports. I remember the day the back of the church opened up and my best friend and bride came down that aisle. I'll never forget that. Alzheimer's included. That's embedded in my soul. When I saw the most beautiful woman in the world, still to this day, come down that aisle, and I got a glimpse, small glimpse, into the bride of Christ relationship we read about in Scripture. It was excellent. Even with her father-in-law standing beside her, it was excellent. My father-in-law, her dad. I remember when they put my first child and my second child in my wife's arm in the delivery room. When all the staff left the room, some of you moms, you dads, no doctors, no nurses, they dimmed the lights. You know, remember those moments? And there's a mom holding her child. There's a reason Mother's Day is the biggest day. It was an incredible picture I'll never forget. All right, right now we've got about 27% of you guys that plan to storm the back door and run from here to Elgin. We've got a bunch of you ladies who think, man, the testosterone in that video is out of control. We've got some of you saying, that coach is mean. He barked. And I've got less time than I'd like, but I'm going to sum this up for you this way in that video. Brock did better than he ever could because his coach got down beside him and demanded his very best. All he said for 100 yards, your very best. Did he bark? Yes, but I got news for you. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is not a soft baby in a manger with me. Sometimes he say, hey, Dan, get off your lazy butt and be a better husband today. I know you thought I was perfect. Sorry. No. Put the clubs up and go spend time with your son instead of your agenda. Don't look at her twice. Beautiful, yes. Don't take the second look. Don't take the third look. Don't get creative with your taxes. Now we're getting personal. What is it for you? I don't know what it is for you. Don't cheat. Don't judge. Don't fill in the blank. I am thankful for a coach who barks at me sometimes. I am thankful for what excellent looks like when a guy goes 100 yards when his goal was 20. I'm thankful for a coach who barks. I'm thankful for the, did you see the peanut gallery? Did you see the effect? I know it's scripted, but did you see the effect on the team that was already planning to lose? In case you don't know, they go on to win the state title on like a 70-yard windblown field goal from a kicker who couldn't hit the field before the God came onto their team. Excellence got everyone's attention, including the assistant coach that just before he walked into that practice had hung up the phone accepting another job because he didn't like that team. But we're all Christians here, right? This is a Christian college. We're all professional Christians, soon to be professional missionaries and Christians. But you want to know who I am in that video way too often? I'm the character you don't pay any attention to. I'm Brock. I get on the back of excellence and ride it, and then have the gall to correct the coach, my God, at the end of the 100 yards. You know, God, if you had just consulted me, it went well, but it would have gone better. Did you hear him? You just carried 140. Coach, I weigh 160. Brock just gave you a free ride in excellence. And you've got the gall to hop off, rested, comfortable, and correct the God, your coach. Why is it that we choose not to be excellent at any part of our days, given what we know about Christ and His sacrifice? Notice I use the word choose. It doesn't just happen. I don't choose to look at the computer screen too long. I don't choose to get creative with my deductions. The accountant says everybody does that. It's just the normal. Yes, the normal sin that everybody else does. I think I know why we church people, why we Christians, are not marketing Christ exactly the best that we should in today's culture. Can I be real honest? Too many days, too many times during my days, my answer to that question is no. That's it. And I know there's visual and tactile kinesthetic learners and audio learners, but when I see that, because I'm not trying to get to your brain, the reason I fall short intentionally, not by happenstance, is because I look into the eyes of my Savior God and say, at this moment, I'm not amazed. I'm about me and my agenda. I'm about my time. I'm about my schedule. This is prayer focus. I don't think we bend our knee very much anymore. I think we're all about salvation and not very much about repentance. And I don't think you can repent trying to stand up and look eye to eye with God. He deserves better. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, make us more amazed on a regular basis. Simply help us to remember the amazing sacrifice that trumps any human performance in any Olympics, in any sport, in anything, any facet of life. Forgive us. Forgive the church. Forgive us as Christians when we choose not to excel in our walk with Jesus Christ. For it's your name we ask it. Amen. Thank you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.